Scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. In the New Testament, 1 Timothy, one of the great apostle Paul's letters personally to a young man that he discipled, that he raised up and mentored in the Christian faith, a young man named Timothy. He wrote him a couple letters and that we know of, and we have two of them here in the Scripture. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Young people today, right? I mean, they lack conviction and direction. They're so into themselves, wanting to follow the crowd with the latest TikTok fad. They ignore the major issues of our day. They don't care to vote. They don't care who's running the country. They just as soon spend all day playing video games or texting on their phones rather than finding a job or doing something constructive. They're impulsive. They have no clue about the value of delayed gratification. They have totally adopted an entitlement attitude, and they are irresponsible and lazy. Am I right? Do you agree with that?
No.
No. She doesn't agree with that. Not at all. Who said that? Some young person sitting over there. Yes. Maybe she knows that the stereotype that I've just kind of reflected is not right. Maybe she knows that being young does not mean that someone is irresponsible and lazy. Maybe she knows that there are contributions that young people make all the time to our culture. Maybe she knows about Mark Zuckerberg, who at 19 years old founded Facebook. Maybe she knows about Amadeus Mozart, who at 3 years old was playing the harpsichord, and at 5 years old, he wrote his first musical piece. Maybe she knows that Annie Oakley, who at 16 years old defeated the world-class sharpshooter Frank Butler by hitting a dime in midair at 90 feet away. Maybe she knows that Abner Doubleday, at 19 years old, wrote the rules for baseball. Yeah, I think that young person over there, who actually is a senior, getting ready to graduate, maybe she knows better. Speaking of seniors, older people today, right? All they can do is remember the good old days and complain about their arthritis. They are so intimidated by modern technology, they think the computer is evil and that Amazon is the Antichrist. They've lost their hair and their teeth and usually the keys to the car. And oh, the car. They drive below the speed limit. They have a hard time staying in their lane. They can't navigate a crowded parking lot. They can't hardly see. They can't hardly hear. They repeat themselves over and over. They are so grumpy and so slow. Am I right? Oh, y'all fooled me about that. Wait, somebody said no. Who said no? Yeah, somebody said no. Maybe the people that said no understand that that stereotype is not right. Being older doesn't necessarily mean that someone is grumpy and slow. Maybe understanding that that stereotype isn't right, people understand that there are incredible contributions that older people can make to our society. Maybe if you understand that that stereotype isn't right, you know Bill Painter, who at 81 years old, climbed to the summit of the 14,411-foot Mount Rainier. Maybe you understand that Barbara Hillary, who at 75 trekked to the North Pole. Maybe you understand that John Glenn, former astronaut and Ohio State Senator, went back into space at 77 years old. Maybe you understand that Michelangelo created this amazing architectural design for the church at Santa Maria when he was 88 years old. People are different, and we're different in ages. We're different in generations. We're different in stages in life. We grow up and have different experience because of our ages. And from those experiences, we have different levels of insight, different levels of wisdom. People are different, and those differences can be generational. But when we stereotype someone because of their age, we're guilty of building walls between us. When we think of someone as a lesser human being because their age is different than our age, then we build generational walls. Listen, in the community of God's kingdom, generational walls do not stand in the way of God's purposes. Generational walls in God's kingdom are not barriers to God getting his work done. God's plan is for life in his kingdom not to be separate and segregated between young and old. God's plan is people of all ages to live together in peace and harmony with one another. Different, yes, we're different because of our ages, but separate? No. How do we know that's true about God's kingdom? Well, little quiz this morning, pop quiz. How old was David when he killed Goliath? We think of this mighty warrior. David wasn't even conscripted into the Israelite army yet. He wasn't old enough. He was probably 14 or 15 years old when he went down to challenge Goliath and kill him. How old was Mary when she gave birth to Jesus Christ? Yes, 15, maybe 16 years old. How old was Moses when he parted the Red Sea? About 80 years old when he led the people of Egypt, or the people of Israel, out of Egypt. How old were Abraham and Sarah when they had the promised child, their son Isaac? The Bible says they were both of them around 100 years old. Here's God's plan. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, I will pour my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your old people will have dreams, and your young people will see visions. That's a picture of rising above the generational walls. People of all ages, filled with God's spirit, working to advance the purposes and the kingdom of God together. In the early church, Christians had a vision for how to overcome those walls. We read the last part of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. The very next chapter starts off this way. Don't be harsh or impatient with an older man. Talk to him as you would your own father. Treat younger men as your brothers. Reverently honor an older woman as you would your mother, and the younger women as sisters. In that one verse, the instruction is just to get along with everybody, respect everybody, no matter what their age and stage of life. When we fail to accept others because of their age, we build walls. When we fail to relate to someone else because they're younger or older than we are, we build walls. When we fail to understand others, pray for others, love others because they are from a different generation than us, we build walls. And within those walls, it's easy to become critical. Within those walls, it's easy for prejudice to fester. within those walls, it's easy for fear to take over. That's not what God has in mind for our life together. Here's his vision. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. In Christ's family, there's no distinction between Jew and non-Jew, between slave and free, between male and female, between rich and poor, between black and white, between young and old. Among us, all are equal. That's God's vision. Now, we might think that that vision of unity is impossible. When we think over the centuries of humankind's inhumanity to each other, based on prejudice or bias or stereotypes or whatever, it's not a pretty sight. But God's plan, his ultimate plan, is for us to get along together through Jesus Christ. The way for different generations to get along is to focus on Jesus. Of course, the world doesn't take the way of Christ, and sadly, sometimes even the church fails to take the way of Jesus Christ as well. Generational walls, as we focus on Jesus Christ, as we live in Christ, as Christ is our Lord and Savior, generational walls are absolutely unnecessary. We must rise above those barriers. We must tear down those walls. And the question this morning that we want to ask is, how do we do that? We all get it. That can be a problem. Question is, what do we do about it? There's a couple of things. But before we get to those two things, we need to remember, like we've been remembering for the last few weeks, what the reason for walls are. How do walls get built in? What purpose do they serve? They exist for two reasons. One is to keep things out. We want to try to defend what we have. And the other reason is to keep things in. We want to protect what we have that's precious to us. Now, those aren't bad ideas. Defending what's precious, protecting what's precious, those aren't bad ideas. But if there's no threat to protect ourselves from, or there's no danger of something precious wandering away or being lost, then there'd be no need for a wall. If privacy, security were not issues, no walls, no fences would be necessary. And that's true of walls that exist in relationships between people. If no one ever posed a threat to anyone else, there'd be no need for us to build walls based on prejudices. If we could trust that what was precious to us would not be stolen or wander away, there'd be no need for walls. If you take away our fear of being attacked and you take away our fear of losing what's valuable, then the walls that separate us religiously, economically, racially, generationally would not exist. And that's important to understand, because part of the key of rising above those walls is adjusting our perceptions of what constitutes a threat. And two things we can do to adjust our perception. In this instance that we're talking about, we need to understand that ageism is serious. Ageism is a form of oppression. It mostly affects older adults, but it can also impact young people. Data from the 2020 National Poll on Healthy Aging found that 82% of older Americans reported experiencing ageism regularly. 65% experienced ageist messages from the media. 45% experienced interpersonal ageism in relationships between others. And 36% had internalized ageism. In other words, they started to believe the messages, the false messages that they were hearing. Ageism is based on prejudice such as older adults are uncooperative, or young adults are not worth taking seriously, or older people are out of touch, less productive, stuck in their ways, or younger people are unskilled, irresponsible, untrustworthy. Those generalizations applied to everyone, those attitudes based on an ageist bias, is what ageism is about. And it's a serious issue. Of course, you know, no one's perfect, and you may know an older person that is stuck in their ways. It happens. Or you may know a young person who's irresponsible. It happens. But to take those ageist ideas, those prejudiced ideas, and apply them across the board universally to people who are of a different generation than you, that's a problem. That's a wall. It needs to come down. So we need to start with understanding that it's an issue. And we need to kind of do a gut check of our own attitudes and say, where am I in that? And do I unfairly look at another person of a different generation? And how can I change that? Second way that we can adjust our perception is to live up to God's expectations of us, not down to others' expectations of us, but live up to God's expectations. And that is what Paul was trying to get across to Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And today we could put the word old in there. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're older. Set an example for others in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. We need to get past those kind of stereotypical generational attitudes and ideas. Sometimes we hear jokes, they're just meant for fun, but directed at stereotypes of older people or stereotypes of younger people. We need to stop laughing at those. We need to start challenging ourselves or the source of where those came from and say, hey, that's not right. Time out. Let's back up. The best way to help others see that those stereotypes are not valid is for us, whatever age we are, whatever generation we are, is for us to live in ways that are aligned with God's expectations. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young or older, but set an example for others. Set an example in your speech, in your conversation with people. Does our conversation live up to God's expectations? Set an example in conduct, in your behavior. Do our actions line up with God's expectations? Set an example for others in love, in how you treat one another, in your respect for others, in your caring for one another, in your sacrifices for others. Set an example in faith, in how you live out your beliefs, in how obvious God is Lord in your life. Set an example for others in your purity, or some translations read your integrity. That's one of the ways that we can help tear down the walls that are built because of our generational stereotypes. Mark Twain said this: age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. And I think that's what Scripture is trying to point us to. It doesn't matter about age. God has built into the functioning of this universe, things just age. They do. Jesus aged. He was born a little baby, but he grew up. And he just kept growing. until he died and then was resurrected. We're going to follow that same plan. We were born, we grew up, we continue to age. That's God's plan. We're going to be young one time, we're going to be not so young another time in our life. Time just moves on. And we're going to die. And then we're going to be raised up to heaven and in the final resurrection. It's all God's plan. And so we need, in our mind, to overcome any of the stereotypes that we might hear or sense or adopt even when it comes to age. So Paul had those words to Timothy. Peter has these words to the church. To the elders or the older folks among you, I appeal as a fellow older person and a witness of Christ's suffering, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples, there's that word again, to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. You hear the progress in all of that. And in the same way, he says, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Again, no walls need to exist in God's kingdom because of our age, because of our generation. As I thought about Mother's Day this week, I thought about how richly I've been blessed. And I'll just start with my grandmother, who introduced me to God. My grandmother, who helped me understand the importance and the value of prayer, who helped me understand the importance of being connected to a church fellowship, the importance of serving, being faithful and committed in the kingdom. The importance of worship, the importance of living out what you believe in your life. My grandmother showed me that, introduced me to that. And then my mother took that another step, and she loved me and showed me what it meant to love, showed me what it meant to be comforted when I was hurting, but also showed me what it meant to be hurt when I needed to be hurt. Out of her love, she lifted my soul, helped shape and form me. At 89 and a half, she's still loving me and showing me God's love through her sacrifices, through her commitment to loving me. And then, of course, there's my wife, who is the mother of my daughter, whom we're both very proud of, by the way, who took it another step and helped shape and form God's love in me so that we together as partners in marriage could give God glory, and we together in partners in ministry could love others and help them experience God's love. See how it comes full circle. Grandmother who introduces, mother who shapes and forms, and then wife who kind of says, okay, let's keep going and let's share this with others. Don't you agree? I haven't been blessed. As I think about Mother's Day this year, I thank God for the women in my life, past generation, current generation, the generation that's coming up, who have all worked to bring God's love into my life, into the lives of so many others. Praise the Lord. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you this morning for our time here. Our time on earth is brief. Might be 8 years, might be 88 years. But that time, however short or however long it is incredibly valuable. It's hard for our human imagination to understand time when it comes to your perspective of eternity. Because whether it's 8 or 88, it's just a drop in the bucket. And yet it's significant. You chose to enter our time frame. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The amazing thing about that is we were given a chance to see you, to see your glory, to see your love and your truth in action. May we make the most of our time, whether we're mothers or fathers, whether we're brothers or sisters, whether we're sons or daughters. Help us to make the most of our time, young or old, and be examples of your love. And then, Lord, use that. Use our lives. Use our speech, our relationships, use our behavior, use our faith, use our integrity, Lord, to make a difference, an eternal difference, a loving difference in the lives of those around us. That's our prayer on this Mother's Day 2023. Again, we thank you for your love. We offer our hearts to you in Christ. Amen.